Well, hello and welcome. This is Candy Foster. Today is a great day to think about changing up some of the areas in your life that maybe you're feeling a little stuck, wouldn't you say? Listen, I know everybody's focus has been on the election, been on the pandemic, things are coming back. You know, there's a lot of things out there that are happening, right? But what is it that you can control? What are you in control of, right? That's what I like to focus on this show. And, you know, a lot of this show has to do with your mind, how you use that mind. And, you know, the conscious mind is the mind of limitations. And the subconscious mind, which governs our habits and our involuntary actions, is also a mind of limitations. But there's a place that creatives tune into. Individuals that have learned how to generate success beyond measure, genius, that you might call them, these people have learned to tap into this mind we call a superconscious mind. Albert Einstein once said, "All I want to know are the thoughts of God, the rest are details." Leonardo da Vinci said, "Isolation is the price of greatness." Paramahansa Yogananda, one of the great masters of yoga, said that silence is the price of greatness, right? Now, why are these people talking about isolation and being still and tapping into this higher realms of consciousness? Well, it's because when you can do that, you can change habits, change what's going on in the outside of you. There's a lot of things, like I said, you can't control, but you can control what you put into your thoughts. What's passing, you know, thoughts are like birds flying overhead, right? You know, if a bird lands on your head, you can get rid of it, right? It starts to nest. Well, it's the same thing as a thought. You don't have to keep focusing on those thoughts that are not taking you to the next level. In this pandemic, we've all had to really change. We've had to pivot our businesses. We had to pivot our lives. My guests today are going to be talking about how they had to pivot their businesses and lives. This show will not only help you to understand, I believe, that you have more power than you really think. It's going to help you to connect with some of the most brilliant minds on the planet, in my estimation. People that have not only talked about change, but have made real change in their communities. They have helped people to change up how they show up, how they act, how they generate wealth and success and love and joy, those qualities from the heart that we so many times don't talk about in the world. In fact, turn on any news station right now. Who's talking about the heart? Who's talking about bringing more love in? I think one of the biggest challenges we have today is, who do you believe? Would you agree with me? Who do you believe? Well, people that have developed that connection with that superconscious mind have also developed something else. It's called intuition. It's called your gut, right? You realize when something is off, you know it's not true, and you tune into that. But so many people right now, it's the blind leading the blind out there, right? They're not tuning in. They're buying into dogmas. They're buying into paradigms that really don't serve humanity, don't necessarily serve them. But a lot of people haven't figured out that you need to step back, tune into your own wisdom, and stop these habits, these mind habits of just going down these paths that honestly don't lead to success. They leave the misery, pain, and suffering for a lot of people. I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm being a little esoteric here, a little out there today. But, you know, this really is a show that can help shift you and your thoughts. So let me just ask you a question. If you're courageous today, what is it that you would do differently? You know, where would you be if you could really speak your heart, speak your truth? What would you do differently? It's a good question to ask, I think, but it's not a question to ask just today or this moment. It's a good question to ask continually. So how do you tap into that superconscious mind and change your habits? Well, I do it personally through a meditation practice, and through an awareness practice to becoming very aware of what's going on all around me at all times. You see, I know the next weird stuff is coming. I don't know what it is, whether it's on the news, whether it's from a big storm, whether it's from an act of God. I don't know what it is. Maybe somebody's gonna do something great. That's cool too, right? But something's coming. And you know, if you're aware of that, you can live with a lot more joy and peace and love in your life. Listen, I think I want to bring on my first guest today because she has an incredible background. And her name is Rodri Rodriguez. She's a multi-talented artist producer. And she's a visionary in the cultural arts area. She's an advocate for cultural arts. And her creative, spectacular live events have really moved people into their hearts. She's the founder of Mariachi USA and the producer. And we're going to tell you a little bit about that today. We're also going to, I'm going to pick her mind a little bit so you get the understanding of what I'm talking about, tuning into the wisdom. So Rodri's international work has extended to Argentina, to Mexico, Chile, Brazil. She's worked with some greats. She's worked with Ella Fitzgerald. She's worked with David Bowie, Eric Clapton, Bryan Adams. Who else? Miles Davis, Stevie Wonder, Andy Williams, Vicky Carr, Sammy Davis Jr., Julio Iglesias. On and on it goes. So she's been out there doing some really amazing things. Rodri, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's really a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you and your audience.
You know, before I get into Mariachi USA, because I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how people can see the video that you guys have created, this amazing show. I want to just ask you, how did you end up working with all these greats? What was it for you? How did you shift your thinking so that all of a sudden now this is happening for you in your life?
Well, because I started at such a young age, it wasn't really, I'm sure that there was an intention, a universal intention that was set for me, but I did not make the plan of I am going to do A, B, C, and D. I knew early on when I came to this country at age 7 that I talk about, you know, when you're saying courageous, children don't know how courageous they are. You become a little survivor. I came by myself without my parents, and I was in a foster home for 7 years till my parents came to the United States and thus came to Los Angeles. So I believe that that little girl in her own courageous way developed the woman that I am today. And but, you know, I thought a lot about the word courageous, and I know I'm digressing here, but the word courage is very important because when you say people are called upon to be courageous, I personally have never known my courageous moments. I don't know what the meaning of courage is. I just do. And I open myself up to do and to be. And what are the levels of courage in one's life? And does that necessarily mean the more courageous you are, the more successful you are? And the answer for me is no, it's not. You know, you're asked to be courageous in many ways on a daily basis, to go and rescue a cat from a tree, or maybe to get in front of a car to save someone. One never knows what that courage is going to mean. So for me, getting into the industry that I loved was meaningful. I didn't see it as anything other than I wanted to entertain people. I wanted to make people feel. That's been my, my purpose is to make people feel.
And then what I love about that, Rodri, is that the word courage comes from the Latin word cor, which means to speak one's heart, right? You know, deep meaning is really to follow one's heart, right? So you've actually done that. In, you know, that is the definition of courage. We think of courage as jumping into a, you know, bungee jumping or jumping off a tall building or running into a building, you know, with our first responders to rescue somebody. That is a courageous act. But true courage means, and this is the hardest thing for anybody to do, is do what you did. Follow your heart in spite of what else is going out there, right? It's just like, it's natural for you. But very unnatural for many.
It is, and it can be learned. I mean, a lot of us have it just ingrained in our DNA. But, you know, we're talking about habits, and I believe that people get into the habitual form of really not being who they are. They become samples and examples of other people because of the things that they have seen in their childhood. And I mean, you can get into this whole psychological thing, but for me personally, I know the habits that I have had to break coming to this country by myself as a child.
And well, you know what? I'd love to pause here for a second. I got to take a quick break. But when we come back, let's talk about those habits that you had to break. I think that'll be a very interesting subject. So we'll be right back.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Season Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
I'm a diabetic. I need to maintain healthy glucose levels so I can live normally and still enjoy my day-to-day life. Kirlin is a 100% natural supplement that helps me do exactly that. Kirlin promotes healthy glucose levels, energy, sleep, and proper body function. I try to make the right choices, but Kirlin keeps me controlled even if I indulge in a naughty treat here and there. It's how I plan to stick around for my family.
Get $20 off Kirlin. Visit curalife.com and use coupon code COURAGE.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Ken D. Foster here. What a great show we have. I'm really loving this conversation with Rodri Rodriguez. She is the founder of Mariachi USA, a nonprofit organization that provides a vehicle for which to nurture the proliferation of culture through music and performing arts and so much more. You know, Rodri, I was reading one piece of your bio here, and it says, you know, beyond achievement, beyond awards, and her unstoppable mission to entertain the soul and motivate the free spirit, there's a woman with a great heart. And you know what? I get your heart. You know, it is the heart of courage. Let me ask you something. Wow, you know, those habits you had to change. You were born in, like you said, you were raised, well, maybe we didn't, but you were raised in Havana, Cuba, and came over, right? So it was a different culture. It was something completely different. I don't know. What age did you come over?
I had just turned 7, Ken. So I came from an island into a desert because I went into Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was in a refugee camp in Miami for probably 3 to 4 months. and they couldn't keep the camps open. So they placed us in foster homes or orphanages.
Wow. And so, you know, you're those, you know, they say from ages 0 to 7, you're forming a lot of your worldview of what you are and who you are and what's going to happen for you. So when you got here, you mentioned earlier, you know, that you had some habits you had to change. What were those habits?
Well, there's a lot that I don't remember being young, and suppose that I will remember when I need to remember. But I was unfortunately in an abusive foster home, which tainted a lot of who I became as a child, and very much those of you that have gone through an abusive process know that you fragment, and eventually somewhere along the line in life, you find out that this is not what was intended for you. And so you begin a healing process. So for me, it was as a little girl, I didn't understand, you know, communism and Castro and the whole political thing that was going on. And so the child, I suppose, felt abandoned by her mother and her father. I was in a different home with other children. I was the one carrying the brunt of most of the abuse. And so later on in life, I realized I had habits that did not fit me, that went against the grain of who I was. And there was a constant battle going on between these two things, the bad habits and me wanting to be full of life and creative and loving music and wanting to express and wanting to just perform and feel. And that habit was constantly pushing me. And so I had to learn to feel my way through it. And it's very painful, you know, and they say it's the only game in town. It's very painful, but the more you feel, the more you hurt and the more you heal. And there were habits that were not mine that I had created to protect myself from an abusive foster mother. And little by little, I began breaking away what was really an addiction to that behavior. Because we get so addicted, Ken, that we don't know that it's even a habit until we finally realize this is not me. I was not destined to be this. There has to be something better. There was another purpose for me to be here, and having gone through everything I've gone through, for my parents to have done everything they did, there has to be a shining light somewhere. And that's where you begin for me, and I'm not suggesting anything other than for me, it was a discovery of how do I break these habits? How do I break through to be and find my true DNA of who I am intended to be? Why I came through my mother's womb to be here on earth? And what I'm supposed to do. And on a daily basis, by the way, I do this. I find myself breaking habits because it doesn't serve me. And I'm always in search of what is going to create that happy moment, even if it's 30 seconds of happiness. And it sounds mundane to anyone out there listening and go, oh God, happy moment. I want a happy year. I want a happy month. But you have to start with that moment and you have to break that habit. If not, it just continues to repeat itself and over and over and over again.
Well, you know what I found with habits, Rodri, maybe you did. It's like with the habits come a whole bunch of thoughts, right? And so you're doing whatever that habit is. Okay, let's say you're overeating. Somebody, you know, overeats.
Oh yeah.
With that habit comes a lot of thoughts that, oh, it's okay, I'll just have one more bite, or it's okay, I'm celebrating today, or you know, I don't need to pay attention. I'll be able to recover tomorrow. I'll exercise. All these thoughts that you know, and I know that for a fact because I've had that challenge. My family, everybody was obese. Okay, and so I've had that challenge myself. And I realized that, wow, that's not me, you know, just because that's how I was raised. I love what you said. That's not me. No, that's not me. That's not me. Can you relate to this?
Yes. And you have to stop and feel the moment and know this is not me. This is something that I observed. This is something that I heard. This is something that someone did to me or told me, but this is not me. It's not fitting. And when you start questioning why is this not fitting, it means that that is not you and that there is a different way of finding and locking into who that you is.
I love that. And isn't that the question? You know, it's like, you know, you had a challenge, you were abused in, you know, in those foster homes. And what happens when we're abused, we lose our light. I believe right. It just shuts down a little more, a little more, a little more. We're all born. These little kids come in. We all come in with all this excitement, and a lot of light and a lot of joy. And then we eventually lose that. But the path that we're talking about here for you and for me was a path of reclaiming that light by looking at the habits, looking at the things that are working and not working, and discarding those things on a daily basis. By the way, I'm not complete. You're probably not complete. We're working on this stuff all the time. But what happens when you do is, for me, I become much more aware and much more compassionate because I realize how difficult people have it in this world.
That's it, Ken. And therein lies, you know, the mystery and the magic of it is the compassion that you develop, because then you're able to see other people that are carrying around habits of just the experiences of being wounded. And they have these habits to protect themselves. So you learn to be a little bit more patient about the person that's cutting you off, the person that's yelling at you at the gas station, the person that wants to wear a mask but doesn't want to wear a mask. I mean, it's all mask yes, mask no, this. It just creates a greater awareness of compassion, but it also creates greater patience for yourself. Yeah. And to understand that when you are removing that habit, you're leaving a space to fill in with something that really gives you joy and makes you happy.
Exactly. Rodrigo, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about Mariachi USA, what your work is about, and how that ties into what we're talking about today. So we'll take a quick break.
Out to make a difference? Do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Kendi Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
I love you.
Welcome back, everybody. Before I get back to our interview, Rodrigo, I want to just give a quick shout out to a few of my friends out there. We have a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you guys are following us, subscribing to us, and I really appreciate that. I just want to thank you for that. That's how we grow our show, is by you letting other people know if this work is important, if this show is important, if you want to help people become part of the solution in the world, which I know you do because you're my audience, I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for doing the work because it's not easy sometimes. And if you want to get some of our replays, you can go to voicesofcourage.us, or you can always just tell Alexa, Cortana, Siri to play Voices of Courage podcast. It'll come right up wherever you are in the world, which is pretty cool. And I have a new book out. So I wanted to let you know, if you want to find out more about that book, you can go to courage2change.us, courage2change.us. All right. That's all I wanted to say. Well, listen, I have my amazing guest here, Rodrigo Rodriguez, and we're about to talk about. Rodrigo works with some of the greats in the world. She's among other things, she's a producer of some amazing live events. Her event was canceled this year at the Hollywood Bowl. I bet that had to be heartbreaking. How was that for you, Rodrigo?
It was very heartbreaking because Mariachi USA has become a national and also an international. It's the largest mariachi festival in the world. And so people come here from all over the world in the United States to celebrate this great music. It's a 5-hour concert. And it was a challenge. It was very sad because people were emailing and, is there any chance? What can you do? Blah, 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 blah. But safety first. So we decided we would do a YouTube special. And thanks to Verizon said, yes, we're there. And it's not a commercial plug. It's just that they truly believe in the cultural communication to our community. And we were able to bring together 17 mariachis. They recorded and it was just amazing. In their garages, the groups in Mexico went out to a horse ranch. And with the horses right there, they recorded their songs. We had a group out in New York who was the mariachi that was playing outside hospitals, Ken, for doctors and nurses during the heaviest COVID period to make people happy out there in the sleet and the snow. And the same thing here in Los Angeles. Everyone got together, just youth, our youth groups, they in their homes recorded, put everything together. And I have to say that it's an A-class show thanks to the love and the talent and the commitment and the heart of all of our musicians to bring this music to their audiences. And it's on YouTube, Mariachi USA channel.
Well, listen, anything that opens up your heart, you can change, we all need that. We need that right now more than anything. So tell me, okay, let's we can put this across the screen, but where can people see the video so that they can connect and enjoy this with their families?
It's real simple. You go to YouTube and you type in Mariachi USA on YouTube. Or you can visit our website, mariachiusa.com, which tells you all about our concerts at the Hollywood Bowl and wherever we're on tour. And you can connect there with everything that's mariachi.
Tell me something. What does mariachi music do for you? Why did you get so involved in it? What happens when you hear that music?
I've always contended that mariachi is the happy music of the world. It's a music genre that was long dominated by the male gender. However, women are now leading the music force. We have more young women at high school, middle school and high school that are joining mariachi groups and taking the lead. And it's been quite interesting to see how women now are dominant, and beautifully so, because they wear the traje de charro, which is the charro outfit. They have amazing voices. They are excellent musicians. All of the instruments are acoustic. You're looking at violins, trumpets, guitar, guitarrón, vihuela, which is the large bass guitar. And they're doing it as a business, although many of them are teachers, mothers. They carry their own professions, but they also manage their own music. They're registering music. They carry copyrights. They're becoming music directors. And so you see a burgeoning industry. It's a business onto itself. And we launched the very first female group at the Hollywood Bowl in 1990. Here in the United States. So you're looking at a 31-year span of how this music has affected all of the United States.
That's amazing. You know, I personally am going to go and watch this YouTube video with my family. Anytime I can find something like this that is authentic and real and brings in joy and happiness, and, you know, we get to share different cultures and different experiences with my family, I immediately... I'm attracted to that. So I'm excited to do that. Rodri, it must have been a little difficult to pivot that business online, you know, as opposed to doing what were your most courageous moments, let's say, to be able to do that?
You know, we have a saying in Cuba, and a lot of Latin countries use it. It was arroz con mango, which is rice and mango. It's just everything thrown together. My director, Anthony Medrano, is out of San Antonio, and I'm here in Studio City, LA, and, you know, editing through BlueJean or Zoom, and our artists recording. I mean, when you're talking mariachi, you're not talking about, you know, a jazz ensemble of four or five or a trio. You're talking about 14 to 16 musicians. And so we had to have all of those recording simultaneously, and then my producer had to mix the music and then put all 15 groups together to edit down into a 2-hour show. So it was a challenge, but I have to tell you, Ken, that again, stepping out of that comfort zone and breaking your habits, it meant so much for all of these professionals to find a vehicle and an avenue with which to present their talent, because mariachis, unlike any other music genre, are in your home. They're there when you're born, at your baptism. They're playing. They're there when you get engaged, when you get married, when you turn 15, which is a big quinceañera celebration. When you get divorced, when you're having a barbecue in your backyard, they're there in your home and they want to please you and they want to, you know, they're constantly asking, what do you want us to play? So they're not like an A artist that falls down to be a B or C artist. They're there full time. So they're in your heart all the time, unlike any other music genre. So when all of a sudden that's taken away from you, people are in need of it, and the musician lives off and feeds off of that. It's not just about a gig. It's feeding off of their audience. When you take that away, Ken, it left this emptiness that had to be filled somehow. So now through this process, they've all learned that they can go live and that they can play into people's homes. So it's created a nuance for our musicians as well, for our audiences.
I'm so glad you said that. You know, things have shifted a lot for a lot of us. And to know that the mariachis are good and they're out there doing their thing and you've helped them to go online, I think that's really cool. All right, let me put it up one more time. Then I got to say goodbye, Roddy. I hope you'll come back and play with us again. This I feel like we're playing today. This has been fun.
It is fun. I would love to come back. Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, listen, I'm going to introduce my next guest, but quickly, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Today, women in business are helping each other prosper like never before by overcoming stereotypes, networking together, and sharing essential resources. Since 1991, Women's Wisdom, the premier business networking organization for purpose-driven, soul-inspired entrepreneurs, has helped women grow their businesses and become the best version of themselves. Women's Wisdom hosts online events with celebrity speakers, best-selling authors, and business experts dedicated to helping you, the small business owner, expand your possibilities, build new relationships, and get the right referrals. Take your business to the next level and join Women's Wisdom at womenswisdom.net. That's womenswisdom.net. Well, welcome back. Hey, today is a good day to change your habits, isn't it? So we're giving you some real insight on that. And I'd like to introduce my next guest. Her name is Alana Pratt, and she is an author, an intimacy expert, and the go-to authority for those who have suffered heartbreak. Who hasn't? And but most importantly, she works with people that are really willing to live unapologetically. She has nearly 5 million views right now on YouTube and hosts the edgy podcast, Intimate Conversations. She's been chosen as a icon of influence, is a columnist for the Good Men Project. I hardly wait to hear about that. And has been featured in the Huffington Post, People Magazine, Forbes, CBS, ABC, Fox, and so much more. Jenny McCarthy Show. Alana Pratt, it's so good to have you back.
Oh, Ken, my God, did we meet like 2 decades ago? Are we actually that old? But it's been a while.
No, we're getting younger and younger because we're tuning more and more into the soulful part of ourselves, which is ageless and deathless. There we go.
Reverse aging. Yeah.
We're bringing in more light and letting go of the body consciousness. There we go. I think that'll work.
Yes. Well, you are as vibrant as ever. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And yeah, this idea of intimacy, people say you're an intimacy expert. Is that all about like genital copulation? And I'm like, well, it includes that. But really the conversation I want to have and the habits I want to support people in changing. What if intimacy is really our vulnerable, transparent, honest relationship with ourself? And what if that supports our relationship with the divine? And what if we can bring that level of home to our beloved, but not only our beloved, what if we could bring it to our children and just to humanity in general? So that's what I'm here to dive deeper into today.
You know, I love about that, but you know, on my journey, I'll just speak to myself. You know, it's been a journey into self, but a journey into self always, it starts with truth. So you can't go there unless you're willing to be really truthful with yourself about who you are, what you're doing, and what's working, what's not working. And a lot of times you've got to find guidance on that. What do you find with that?
Well, I think you're right that it's about truth. And in order to get to truth, there's often a lot of blocks or trauma or triggers or something in the way of going all the way deep into your heart to find that truth. And me, that's one of my jobs, is I help people integrate and heal those wounds or guide them, as you said, home to their truth. But I would never be so audacious to say, I know what your truth is. I'm not God. So I believe what you're saying is, yes, partnership helps us get home to truth, but ultimately truth is our soul. And I wouldn't want anyone to tell me what my purpose is or my truth is. That's for me to discover and live unapologetically. Yeah.
And live. Okay. Let's talk about that. How does one live unapologetically without stepping on everybody else's toes?
Yeah. Well, living unapologetically doesn't mean you're just going to be mean to someone and it doesn't matter their point of view or their feelings don't matter. Unapologetic is really just, am I living for your approval? Am I good enough? Am I living for your agreement? Well, if you agree with me, then I must be right. Or do you see me? Do you see me? Like all of this neediness when we're empty on the inside, seeking everything on the outside, then we are not free. So free, unapologetic in the sense of freedom is what I'm really talking about here. When you truly are free and you don't need hope, wish, want, like nothing on the outside, there's a home and a wholeness on the inside. Being unapologetic might be actually saying nothing sometimes. Just let them be right. It's not about being right. It's just about being honest and truthful. And sometimes unapologetic is, I'm gonna write that book. I'm gonna start that podcast. I'm gonna broadcast my truth. But truth doesn't need to be loud. There's a lot of silent, like there's power in silence and just allowance. That can be unapologetic as well.
That can be. Well, you know, in America, we like to control everything, right? We, you know, that's why this pandemic and what we've been doing has been so difficult for so many, because they feel out of control. Now, of course, you got people that are really trying to control. You got governors and mayors and things that are really trying to control everything, which is driving the people that want to be in control crazy too. So, you know, what is this thing with control? Is this an illusion? Is this something that we need to work on as a society or as an individual? What's your take on that?
Yeah, the last time I tried to control somebody, it didn't go very well. I don't know about you. It's called a divorce. I've had two of them. So the idea that we can actually control life or control people is a complete illusion. We can influence. We totally have choice. We can be deep in our discernment and our intuition on which choice to make. But the idea that we can control anything is BS. And the more we can just be in allowance, have influence, but be okay if the universe has another plan, the more we can flow within ourselves and we can flow with others. And nobody likes to be controlled. I'm sure you don't like to be controlled. So instead of trying to control somebody, instead get curious and ask questions, and you can influence. But at the end of the day, your well-being need not be another's control. You've got to learn to find that safety and security on the inside.
All right. Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of control freaks listening to the show right now. I know who you are, and I know you're out there listening to this. So what's the one tip you could give those folks to be able to let go of this need to control so much?
Well, I was a total control freak as well. My well-being was based on you agreeing with me or liking me, or I could somehow control, and it doesn't work. It pushes people away. So the key is there's a little, I call it like a little you on the inside. Let's imagine there's a little you inside your heart. And instead of they feel scared, they feel ashamed, they feel out of control, they feel angry, instead of pushing them down or projecting them onto another, why don't we just have some empathy for ourselves? Some compassion for ourselves. Imagine putting your arm around little you and saying, hey, I got you. You're scared. I got your back. We will handle this together. So you learn how to soothe yourself instead of reacting. You learn to soothe yourself and choose and respond. And people will find you a lot more pleasant to be around, and they'll probably stick around a lot more. So you just learn to to be at one with yourself on the inside rather than trying to control everything on the outside, which you can't even control in the first place.
Edgy description of your, give me a quick edgy description of your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my podcast is called Intimate Conversations. And it's where instead of, I have a lot of experts that teach us a lot of good stuff, but it's really about who's behind the message. How did you get there? Be vulnerable with us. Share your journey. Let's get real. Let's get intimate. Let's get transparent. Because a lot of people don't trust what's going on out there. And here's another seven tips, or here's your, like, they don't buy it anymore. They want to really get real and look behind. So this is a very safe place for people to do that. And then you transfer that skill into your own beloved relationships. And all of a sudden, you're a lot more fun, safe, and attractive to be around.
I love that. I love that. Okay. Well, listen, let's put that back up on the screen where they can get a hold of Alana there. And there we go. AlanaPratt.com. AlanaPratt.com for our audio listeners. You can go there and check out Alana. Alana, when they go to your website, what are they going to find?
They're going to find my new dating app called HeartMates. And you can find that at heartmates.app. And really, it came out of COVID. My clients were like, you know, people are getting more intense and more scared and more mean. And as soon as anything gets a little bit, you know, you get around those tough conversations, they ghost me, they ditch. And so I created a place where it's not only a dating app, it's an intimacy training all rolled into one. So we're all learning how to become the one, to find the one, to keep the one. And I think these are the times when we really need to look inside and go, you know what? The only one in common with all those relationships that didn't work is me. Okay, maybe it's time to do a little inner intimacy work so that I can have that be my life.
I love it. Well, listen, man, thank you for being here today. I hope you'll come back with me again and again, because I love your message. I love who you are. I love what you're doing. And you're one of the courageous voices out there that are really helping shift consciousness in America. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Alana. And I hope you'll stay to the end of the show, too, because I'll bring you back for a minute. Listen, I got to take a quick break. And when I do, I'm going to bring on Lucy Danziger. She's the former long-time editor-in-chief of Self Magazine. I'm going to be taking a deep dive with Lucy. So we'll be right back.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. And right before I get to my guest, I do want to let everybody know that you can join our Insiders Club, where you have exclusive access to all the after-show videos, our great guest gifts, and also information to take your life to the next level. Just go to voicesofcourage.us. You can also get our replays there. Dan Dunger, I'm so glad to have you here. You made it. That's exciting. That's great.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, let me introduce you. Lucy is the former longtime editor-in-chief of Self Magazine. She grew that public to 7 million users online and won journalism awards, including the National Magazine Award for the coverage of the breast cancer awareness and prevention. She's past president of the American Society of Magazine Editors and co-author of The 9 Rooms of Happiness and the Drop 10 Diet Book. Lucy is a self-taught expert also in healthy living and has become a huge influence among wellness publications over the last several years. Lucy, how did you go from Self Magazine over into the wellness area? What brought you there?
Well, so, you know, at Self, we used to tell people to take good care of themselves. And it was the whole idea of, you know, put your own oxygen mask on before you reach and help others. And that same thing applies when it comes to how you eat, how you exercise. We really, at The Beat, where I'm now editorial director, we want you to think about taking the best care of yourself you can. And of course, during a pandemic, you really want to eat healthy and get sleep and exercise. And so we help really guide you to a more plant-based diet, because there have been study after study that shows that red meat or processed meat or junk food or even dairy can cause inflammation. And inflammation can lead to all sorts of complications, including infection. So if what you're trying to do is ask yourself, am I taking the best care of myself I can right now during a very stressful time in our lives? The answer might be, you know, look at what you're eating. Try to eat more fruits and veggies. Only 10% of Americans get the recommended 5 servings a day of fruits and vegetables. So if all you do is add more plants to your diet, you're going to feel better. You're going to have a much stronger immune system. You're going to fight off infection. And if, God forbid, you do get this coronavirus, you're probably going to be able to recover much more easily than if you're not eating healthy or getting sleep or taking care
of yourself. Well, you know, I think a lot of times people that don't want to go to a plant-based diet is because they're worried about not getting enough protein, right?
I know.
So how do you address that?
It's so funny. This came up at dinner last night with my best friend. We were eating roast veggies and some delicious legumes. And it turns out that most of the animals we eat get their protein from a plant-based diet. So we know that there are 20 veggies and legumes and seeds and nuts that give you plenty of protein. And actually, most Americans get too much protein, and it causes all sorts of problems in their body. So very few people in this country have a protein deficiency. And so if I need 45 grams as an active woman and you need 55 grams as an active man, you can easily get that without even eating a thing of meat at all. And so look at things like artichoke, legumes like beans and lentils and chia seeds and flax seeds and pumpkin seeds. And it's so easy to get that protein without even really trying if you're eating a plant-based diet.
How do you know if you're getting too much protein?
Usually you're starting to gain weight and feel bloated, and it's just your body doesn't need too much of anything, right? It doesn't need too much carbs or protein or fat. So if you're getting too much of anything, your body just starts to put on weight and feel logy and slow. And a lot of times you fall asleep after a meal, and it's because you've had too much, just too much.
Okay. Listen, the show is called The Courage to Change Your Habits. So how do we change from a meat-based habit, meat and potatoes and overcooked vegetables? That's what I grew up on. I don't know about you, but to something that is a lot more healthy.
Well, it's so interesting. I think you need to start to take a little bit of stock on how you feel when you eat. Like, we all know that post-Thanksgiving nap, right? But that happens daily. Like, you sit at your desk at 2 or 3 in the afternoon after a heavy lunch and you just feel really tired and you're just fighting sleep. Whereas if you have a big salad for lunch full of, you know, greens and legumes and lentils and quinoa, you know, whole grains and whole vegetables, you really feel much more focused, like you're sparking on your work. So I want that feedback loop to be something that people listen to. So, you know, for breakfast, just have oatmeal and berries and see how you feel at 11, and then have a handful of nuts or seeds or, you know, maybe some edamame or hummus. And then do it again at lunch, have a salad or have a big, you know, stir fry bowl with grains and like rice. And then again at dinner, try it again and just see how you feel. And if what you experience, which a lot of people do, is you have better energy, your skin clears up, you know, you even have a better sex life. I knew you were talking to a sex expert, because a lot of these whole foods help your blood flow, help nitric oxide. They do in your body what a lot of people pay drug companies to do in a pill. So you might as well take advantage of the harvest season that we're in now and go eat, you know, butternut squash and all sorts of delicious things that you can get for so cheap. That's the other thing. Everybody thinks plant-based is expensive. You cut out meat, you cut out dairy, you cut out junk food, and the price that you pay at the grocery store goes down by $123 a week.
That's amazing. Well, you know, one thing I love what you said, you know, you're talking about results, and now you're talking my game. You know, if it's not working, right? If you're crashing, if you're not feeling right, if you're gaining weight, if you got that that loop or that fat around your tummy, it's not working. So it's like, okay, what can I do next? You know, health is a quest, just like everything else. But you have to find the experts that will teach you. And of course, Lucy's one of them. I have a question. You know, it seems like a lot of people right now, this could be my hallucination, are changing and choosing to have healthier lifestyles. They are changing up their habits. They want to do that as a result of this pandemic that we've been going through. Why is that, do you think?
Doctors are saying to everyone, look, your immune system is the one thing that can fight this virus, right? All we can do is support your body until you create these antibodies. And the quicker you do that, the better, which is why little kids who get colds all the time, their immune system's quick. So we want to emulate that. We want a quick response to any kind of infection and antibody. And we know that there are basically four ways to be healthier right now. There's try to de-stress, go watch some junky TV, don't dive into a bag of potato chips, get good quality sleep, and that means going to bed earlier because you generally have to get up for work, so go to bed earlier, and exercise every day. Get out there and walk, run, bike, swim, whatever it is that you like to do, every day you get moving and you get your heart up. And
you know, I've heard so many people tell us to do that. Why don't we listen? I mean, it's like, you know, have good intentions, but it's difficult to do that. How do you break that habit, that old habit of sitting on the couch, not exercising, eating the junk food or watching too much TV? How do you break that? How do you help people break that?
Okay, so I think we have to give ourselves a break first, right? If you're really stressed and really tired and you don't have the energy to go work out, first of all, don't eat junk food. That's going to make you more logy and have less energy.
But I got it all. I got all this junk food at my house, somebody's saying, right? I got it all. I'm not going to throw it out. What am I going to do with it?
I think the first thing you should do is throw it out. You have to see sugar as poison. Anything that doesn't have a whole food as the very first thing on the ingredients, get rid of it. Like tomato sauce is great, but something that basically has sugar and preservatives, you're drugging yourself. You're killing yourself. So obviously, I always say, if you need a night out with the gal pals to go drink wine because you're stressed, go do that. That's like blowing off the steam off a boiling pot, right? Once you've done that, the next day, give yourself permission to start to be healthy. And that's what's going to fulfill you. If you can figure out how to get up an hour earlier and go and walk in the park, which I always try to do, I try to get outside early in the morning, that sunlight in your eyeballs is going to change your whole body clock for the rest of the day. And if you get your heart rate up, the stress of that creates anti-stress hormones, which are basically endorphins, which last for 12 hours. You're going to deal with the workday so much better. When you're
I have a thought around that. You know, I've heard a lot of times over the years, it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. But I've found in my own research, that's not true. It takes about 3 days to really set that new habit in place. So you go to the gym 3 days in a row. All of a sudden that you've got those endorphins going, you're feeling good about yourself. I think you can set those habits a lot quicker. I don't know.
I think that's right. And I think also the other thing that people like to do is they fall off the wagon and then they're gone. And I think that everybody has to understand, just because you had ice cream doesn't mean you're off the wagon. You have to forgive yourself and say, hey, that happens. Move on. I always say the stress about the brownie is actually worse for your body than the brownie. If you needed those extra calories, you just tell yourself, I needed those extra calories, and move on. So one of the things we need to do is allow ourselves permission to take it step by step. And if we regress or we have a problem one night, we drink too much or have too much sugar, move on, go forward.
So what you're talking about, you're talking about guilt-free living. And I like that. I like that.
I always say if my worst vice is white wine and coffee and a little bit of ice cream, I'm okay.
You're okay. That's it.
You just got to let yourself have those human moments, but that doesn't mean you're an unhealthy person. Try to be healthy most of the time. That consistency is what adds up. Just try to be healthy.
When we go to your website, what are we going to find?
Okay, so when you go to the beet, you're going to find all sorts of recipes and delicious ways to be healthier and love it. No one's saying you have to eat lettuce and like rabbit food. You can really enjoy delicious food that's filling and satisfying and full of all those nutrients that make your body just operate on a higher level. And when you start to feel good because you're eating quality food, you get this idea that this is how we're supposed to feel. And then that sort of begets its own healthy pattern. Like when you start to feel good, you know it. And then you think, I want to eat that way more because I want to feel this way more.
Yeah. I love it. Well, listen, I'm out of time, but that was a very packed little segment. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you, Lucy. I really appreciate you being here. And I want to thank all of our guests for being here, Lucy Danziger and Alana Pratt, and also Roddy Rodriguez. Also want to thank all of our team behind the scenes. They do an amazing job of getting this show out to you. And thank you, all my listeners, for everything you do. If you would like to contact me or give us ideas for show ideas or show guests, you can contact us at viewer@voicesofcourage.us. That's viewer@voicesofcourage.us. You can find all my replays there also. And you can also find my latest book at couragetochange.us. I hope you'll change it up in your life. Couragetochange.us. That will give you the foundation to make those changes in those habits that are holding you back. You know, if you could download wisdom and understanding and your own passion and inspiration on a daily basis, imagine how your life would be. So that's what that book's about. Couragetochange.us. Thank you again for all of you for being part of this show. I love y'all. Take care. Have a blessed week.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.